Our Father, thank you again for Calvary, Lord, and the blessing that took place there when Jesus died for me and for us and for the world. And now we come to you again tonight in this hour, asking to help us with your word. Instill into our heart things that we need that would help us in this world. May we focus on you. Help us understand some things about life maybe we would not understand had not we been here tonight. Bless your word as it's taught. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 to begin with. I'm going to read a number of places in the scripture, and then we'll look at. This message came about, you know, a couple weeks ago, Brother Ken mentioned something about patience. I didn't hear all that he said because his back was to me. Didn't hear what he said, but didn't realize for weeks now I've been working on a message called patience. And I didn't tape it, so I didn't really understand, and I figure he forgot what he said, so no reason to ask him, but he's talking about being patient. This is something that we all need in life. Let me say that again. You didn't hear me. This is something we all need in life. Wives, don't husbands need it? Husbands, don't wives need it? Now let's ask the women again. Wives, don't the husband need it? Hey, this is going to be a great subject tonight. If you'll listen, I think you'll learn something about patience. I'm an impatient person, always been that way, because I want things done now. By the way, you do too. Most do. Even the person that looks to have patience wants things done and done quickly. But the Lord has to teach us some things about patience, and He does that. And I believe tonight you're going to see some things that would be a blessing to you. I was thinking about, someone sent me an article, and it, you know, these blonde jokes I don't care much for, but this is about a blonde person, and the story went, she had bought a house, and she lived in it 4 or 5 years, and then she finally decided she was going to replace the windows, so she talked to a builder, and the builder talked to her into putting in expensive, double-pane, energy-efficient kind of windows. And he told her, he said, hey, it'll pay for itself in 1 year. You don't have to worry about it. And so she went ahead and called a contractor. He installed it in and so forth. And finally, a year went by and got a phone call from the feller who put the windows in and said, Miss So-and-so, you hadn't paid your bill yet. And she said, hello. Said, just because I'm blonde don't mean that I'm automatically stupid. Said, you told me that your salesman told me just as plain as anything that in 1 year those windows will pay for themselves. Now, I can't have a thing pay for themselves yet. And the friend said, what happened? He said, I don't know, but I bet he felt like he was an idiot. Well, I want to talk about patience. You have to have patience with some people, and you'll probably have to have some patience this week with some people. But in 2 Peter, first of all, in chapter 1, and read down about verse 6, Peter says this, and besides, look verse 5 first, and besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patient godliness. And he said, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to other brotherly kindness charity. He said, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's interesting because he says faith, virtue knowledge. We understand the knowledge part. Knowledge, temperance, that is kind of self-control. But he said, and to temperance, patience. Now, if you look with me over back in James, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. James said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entirely wanting nothing. That ye may be complete. And again, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. If you look over a few other pages in Hebrews chapter, for instance, 12, in verse 1, Scripture says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with such a great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And I think this is something God has really taught me a number of years now, that whatever I do for Him, He's got to do it through me, and I'm going to have to wait with patience. Even if I know I'm doing what's right, I've got to wait for patience in God's own time. Because God is doing things other than just teaching me patience. He's doing some other things in other people's lives when he's dealing with our lives in any situation at that particular time. If you look also in chapter 6 in verse 12 of the book of Hebrews, he says that ye be not slothful. Now, this is talking about God's people. We ought not to be slothful in our work and error. We should have good work ethics. He said, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Whatever we're doing, we know we have a greater thing on us. I showed that this morning in our lives. And that's what God has promised, the inheritance we get from him by being part of the family of God. Now, if you look in Romans with me, back over just a few pages, in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, we're talking about patience now. And not only so, he said, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Isn't that interesting? Paul said we glory in tribulation. Why? Because we know tribulation worketh patience. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't find myself glorying in too many trials I get into, but he says I can and I should because God's going to teach me some patience. Hey, he's done that. I bet you if you could say that. If you look back, you can say the same thing. God has let you go through some things for the purpose of teaching you patience. And if you'll be honest, would you got patience learned from that? I have. If you got any age on you at all. And he says, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope make it not ashamed. Again, we go in tribulation. Why? We know that tribulation worketh patience. We know that patience works experience, and experience is what we're involved when we needing the patience to deal with whatever we're dealing with. And he says, and experience hope. And then he said, hope will make us not ashamed. Interesting thing. We go through something, whatever it might be, it's harsh, and it seems like we just can't deal with it in like we would if things were going well. But he says, the end results of what we're having to face is going to be hope. And he said, one thing is for sure, hope won't make you ashamed. This hope won't make you ashamed. Now, when we talk about patience, patience is the art of waiting. This is not learned all at once in man's in our lives. Life is kind of a composed of waiting periods from the day we're born. The art of waiting. There's not a one in here that didn't have to wait for something. You may be waiting for something right now. If not, you will be. Because life is a consistent in things of waiting. You go back and I thought about, a child waits for the day they can ride a bicycle. It may start real young. A teenager waits for the day they get, well, a car, but driving license. Not a teenager yet gets, quote, 14, 15, 16-year-old. Don't wait till that day they can get. This is a period of waiting. They have to do that. And then you get in each age of life after that. You take a child, bicycle, or a young person, adolescent, looks at driver's license. A student is waiting for graduation. Then you move on and you think about, what about an adult? Adults are waiting for that promotion. Some of you are waiting for that promotion right now. Been waiting a good while for it. And then you find you get later, you get married and have family and you're waiting for that home or waiting for a better home. Or waiting for that car. Or waiting for a better car. There's periods of waiting all the time in our lives as we cut our course this side of eternity. I heard a person say the other day that talking about building someone up. And they used a phrase that sounded good until I looked it up. And he said something like, you are a pearl in the beginning stage. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? You are a pearl in the beginning stage. Hey, young folks, that'd be something, young men, that'd be something used on the girl sometimes. You are a pearl. And don't let her look it up. Because when you look it up, you find out a pearl in the beginning stage is a pain in an oyster stomach. Patience. Talking about patience. Patience is the ability to count down before the blast off. The ability to count down before the blast off. One effect of man's fall into sin is the lack of patience. We all need that. We need patience. We want what we want, and we want it now. You say, I'm not that way. Oh, let me talk to somebody who's been around a little bit. There's some things we want it right now. The secular media, the advertising agency, the markets and the magazines and the movie makers, these just about everybody we face just about in life, everybody else is guilty of making this the dominant trend of our thinking. You think about advertisements that you see on television and papers and books and whatever it may be. What are you waiting for? We got the answer for you. Whatever what you're looking for, this will meet it. This is exactly what you need. You've got things in your home right now. Someone told you on the media you needed, you got it and you didn't need it at all. In fact, you can't even operate it. We've done that. I should say Barbara's done that. I mean, no patient. We say, hey, this is idea. Well, this is great. This would help me lose this. Now, listen, if it's on television and you don't check it out any other way, you better leave it alone. Amen. Till you check it out, because things will lie. That's all there is to it. There's many things we bought, thought it was going to do something, and it didn't do it at all, but yet it was our fault because we didn't use it right. That's just the way things go. There's a need to look. There's no need to look any further. There's no need to struggle anymore. We've got the solution for you. Can't wait. Got to have it. Got to have it. How did they know that I needed this? They know the market, you see. This explains the get-rich schemes and the lottery and the infomercials and these things. People are willing to try anything as long as it is not the same old tried true method of hard work. People want the quick fix, the least amount of effort. The Christian is just as bad with his lack of patience. Let me give you an example. When we think about services, a 20-minute sermon or a 15-minute prayer will put most of us into a deep sleep. Because we don't have patience. We just don't have patience. And I say most of us, that's plural, that includes me. We're so busy in this world that when we have something that God gives us on the table to help us, many times we get started, sounds good, but we lose it along the way. Let me give you two quick points about patience here tonight. Number one is this. The reason that we're impatient, and I believe this in my heart, because this is the age we're living in. The reason we're impatient, we want to have the answers without struggling with the questions. We care nothing about the questions. And sometimes God's going to let us deal with the questions long enough so when the answer comes, it's going to help us. The answer coming up top without the question, you don't grow one bit. If I get an answer from God before I even have the question, then I'm not going to grow much in life. God will let me struggle with the question so that if I struggle long enough, when He gives the answer, I will know the answer is right, exactly what I need. For instance, you have all kinds of books written today. Give 7 principles of power. 10 steps to success. The 5 keys to the kingdom living. 5 steps to getting ahead in life. What's the question? They already give you the answer. He says, getting ahead. Hey, there's been many a book that people read telling us how to get ahead, and you read it and still didn't get ahead. You know that? Now, there's nothing wrong in having good books to enhance us and help us in life. But I'm telling you, most of the time, books are written not to help, but to make money. That's the age we're living in. If you don't believe that, go back and look at men who wrote books years ago from the scripture standpoint. You can't even get them print today. Why? They say they won't make money. And they'll print anything in this world as long as it makes money. It doesn't care whether it's right or wrong. It doesn't make any difference. They'll print it as long as it makes some money. Now, if I asked you, let me show you what I'm talking about. If I'd asked you, we talk about this, get the answer before you get the question. If I'd asked you the question, how far is it from the earth to the sun? You might know it, or you might not know it. And let's suppose that I give you the answer. And as far as I know, and looking it up, it says about somewhere around 93 million miles away from the sun, the earth is. Now, you would have the information now that you would need to answer that question. Are you with me? All right. Now, here's the thing. Now, if someone would ask you that question, how far is the earth from the sun? You could use this information. It could be in a classroom activity. It could be in a social situation. It could be anywhere. Topics of this, such as this is discussed. You'd have the answer. But suppose someone would proceed to ask you, how did you know that? You say, well, Brother Ennis told me that. I don't mean nothing. He said, Brother Ennis ain't got enough sense to get out of the rain. How would you know that? Well, I read it in the book. Well, it may be true, but you have no way to prove it yourself. Because you, when the question is asked, the only thing you've got an answer before you knew the question. You got it from someone else. But if someone would proceed to ask you this, do you think that they would be satisfied with the answer? Just say, well, I read it in the book. They say, well, they might be. I don't think so, not in our age, if they were trying to disprove what you were saying. This knowledge, though it would be right as far as the answer, would only get you so far. Now, here's the key. If you knew how to figure it out for yourself, if you have the equipment, the ability to say, the earth's here and here's the sun, and have the means of figuring out the distance between the earth and the sun, you could say, hey, let me show you why I believe this is true. I'll tell you, the answer is this. But you've got a question. I want to answer that question. Here's how you do it. And you lay out the format of how you determine distance between here and the sun. And you say, by the way, I can tell you the same format, the distance between here and the moon. And by the way, I can tell you the same format, if I can see it, the distance of anything in space that I can see because I know how to figure it out. You'd have to say, hey, that fellow, he knows what he's talking about. You have to believe him because he knows what he's talking about under those circumstances. Now, patience means that you have studied enough to get the answer when the question comes up. We literally use this knowledge to figure the distance out. And this helps us now to understand. What I just told you helps us understand when we struggle with sin. The formula has to do with mathematics and otherwise as far as from here to out in space. But the struggle with sin. See, for instance, we wish that sin would go away, but it doesn't. It doesn't. It keeps showing up. So God, at times, gives us measure amount of grace, which gives us instant moments of dealing with certain sins satisfactory and dealing with life satisfactory. Sometimes people are instant delivered from a vice quickly. Just like that. Other times people are not. Now, don't you think that God could deliver all of us the same? Sure he could. But you got to keep in mind God's in charge. You see, to God, for God to deliver me may not be what I need if he delivered me like he delivered you. He may give us both the same answer to the question. But he may take me a different way to get the answer. Because he knows what I need inside. And I need as much so the question that's asked to understand as I do the answer. It's important. And why God has led me to understand the question, he's bringing me in an arena, so to speak, so I will learn more. If I am studying the question and God has given me, I'll learn more through the question and get it answered than God just giving the answer. Sometimes God waits so we will struggle with the questions. And here's what we learn. Sometimes people are delivered instantly. Then there are times that one is not completely delivered. We ask why. We ask why. I've had so many times that people would ask, especially about children, preacher, I don't understand why. Why did my baby die? Why did my child die? Why did my 3-year-old die? Why did my baby at birth die? Why did my 12-year-old die? Dr. Jack Howells wrote one of the greatest poems I've ever read, and I read a lot of times in families here. The question is why? Why? And it's a blessing every time you read that when you need it at that particular time. Sometimes God waits to see that so we'll struggle to the question. And here's where we learn something. You see, if God answers the question before we understood the problem, all we would do is have a surface solution and not be able to cut at the root of the problem. Because it'll show up again. If we're dealing with the surface, it'll show up again. It has to be dealt in underneath. So they won't come up again. And that's what God does for you and I. He's a wonderful God. When the real roots surface again in some other form, we have just relied on the answer with no struggle. We keep tacking the problem over and over again. It comes on the surface when we need to lay the axe to the root. And God allows that when the question is explored. And I believe that's one of the reasons why we come to the throne of grace, to our Father, and we go to the right person and we ask why. And God knows our heart is humbled, and God knows our heart is open, and God knows our mind is receptive, and God knows that we've come as a child and we're bewildered. But when we get to the throne of grace, God knows what we feel, because His Son has been attacked every way possible in this life to understand our problems. And He knows if He answered the question right then like we ask it, it wouldn't help us grow one bit. But by the time He answers it, we've grown a lot. We've grown compassionately. We've grown patiently. We've grown in areas of dealing with humanity entirely different. We learn not to be as sharp with our tongue. There's things we understand that God teaches us when we come to a place in this life when it comes to a question being asked, and then getting the answer at that time. We keep attacking the problem on the surface when we need the axe to the root, and God is bringing us to the point to do just that. To struggle with the question will instill the discipline that we need in life to be able to survive the other struggles that we may face later. And what God is showing us as I deal with the question to get the answer and wait on God, and I have to, He's showing me whatever I face in life, then I come to the question that when I get the answer, I'll know how to deal with the next question. And I'll know how to deal with the next question. And I know how to deal with the next question. And God keeps giving the answer, but I got to understand a little bit about the question before I get the answer. If not, I won't grow one bit. I think that's wrong with the charismatics. Just naming and claiming you get it. Folks, listen. I believe I trust God as much so as anybody in this country. I really believe that. Maybe not the best Christian in the world. But I want to tell you something. Just because God doesn't give me something when I ask, don't mean that He don't love me just as much so as He loves anyone else. And the same with you. God answers prayers. But I don't mock Him. I don't go around claiming something just because I'm claiming I ain't got it yet, but if I keep claiming I'm going to get it. There's some things, the question I need to learn more so than the answer. Because the answer would just put a cap on something that comes up over here. And the next time I have a problem, I don't understand it because I may not get the answer there. But if I grow in analyzing the question, God will work in my heart and help me through that situation. So we want the answer without struggling with the question in our age. Christians as much so as the world. Number two is this. Now, it is not the answer that may be wrong. I learned this in algebra. Having the answer without understanding the problem is what is wrong. If we get an answer and don't understand the problem, then how can we know what to do the next time we have a problem and don't get an answer right then? I hope I'm not above your head on this. I thought about algebra. I took 2 years of high school algebra. You heard me say I took 2 years of advanced algebra. I took 1 year of trig, 1 year of geometry. I don't know nothing. Today, it's been so long ago, math is no way like it was when I took it. When it comes to math, I feel very insufficient. But when I think about algebra, I remember one time in algebra, I was in the 12th grade. I took my junior, senior year. I worked 2 or 3 algebra problems that got the right answer, but missed the question. It blew my mind. And I went to Judson Stevens, who was my teacher, and I said, "Miss Stevens, I don't understand this. You counted that wrong." He said, "Yes, sir, I did." I said, "But the answer is right according to the rest of the books here, according to the rest of the papers." "That's right, but you worked it wrong." "How do you mean? How can you get the answer and work it wrong?" "Well, you can sometimes look up and do that in algebra. It may be rare, but it can happen." And he counted them wrong. And I had the right answer. And he said, "There's certain ways that you do certain things to get the right answer. And we have to assume that if you got the right answer, you must have cheated." And I said, "Well, look at it. Show me why I figured it out." He said, "There's no way you could got the answer that way." "But I did get the answer." You know, used to argue with an algebra teacher, amen? And so I counted it wrong. I understand something there. There are some things in life, you may think you have the answer, right answer, but it's not what you need at that particular time. This is why, listen to me, this is why cheating on a test will cheat you out of the greater knowledge. This is why you give the right answer, but knowing how to get the answer will help you the next time you have a test in life. If you look up and get the right answer, that's nothing. But if you get a test, if you work it this time, the next time you know how to work it towards the right answer. And you come more having the accuracy of something than you would just guessing at it or doing it away and say, well, I got the answer right. What difference does it make? Because there are some things that have to be done a certain way to get the correct answer in life. And God deals with us like that. There is no secret of spirituality or formula for faith. I think about college students sometimes. Here, but you've seen this, I'm sure. There are some college students, when they do the work, they copy everything. They copy paragraphs to answer a question. And here's the thing about that. They may get the answer right, but they don't learn anything. They copy the answer. They find the answer in the book, and they copy three or four paragraphs to be sure that it's covered, but they don't learn anything. They're just copying it down. But when you read it, and then you put it in your own words, and you answer it with your own words, then you've learned something. And that's what God is doing. He gives you the answer without the question. How do you know what question the next way to get an answer? God knows us, folks, and what He's dealing with us all the time. He's teaching just what He said when we look in Romans again. When He talks about this, He said, "But we glory in tribulation, and we know tribulation worketh patience, and we know patience worketh experience, and experience worketh hope, and then hope maketh not ashamed. I may not pass the test, but I won't be made ashamed if I do it right. God may not come and answer my prayer just like He did yours. You say, praise God. Hey, man, God took that away from me. Boy, isn't that a great thing? You say, well, I've been wrestling with it for 6 months and God didn't take it away from me. That's all right. I may be wrestling with it, but I'm not going to be ashamed because of hope. It started out and God is working in my heart. And this is a wonderful thing to see when you talk about patience in life. There is a plan. And it involves staying the course, walking the narrow path, and involves studying when it comes to the Word of God, as much so as academics in this world. We depend upon Jesus for our life. We depend upon the Heavenly Father for our daily bread. We depend upon the Holy Spirit for leading us into more passionate relationships with God. If we take the time to struggle with the question, here's the thing about patience. If we take the time to struggle with the question, while the answer comes, this will enable us to overcome many of our problems at the root level. And we will be victorious Christians, and God will move us from one level to the next in this particular life. Someone said, start a fire and be warm for a day. Stay on fire and you'll be warm for life. Where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present for God's child. One night, Dr. Ironside started home, he and his wife. He'd been preaching that day across the country, and he preached 5 times on one day. And they started home that night after the service, and Dr. Ironside was kind of a little bit frustrated, and his wife said something, and I'm glad we don't have that here in Fellowship Baptist Church, but Dr. Ironside said something kind of harsh to his wife because he was frustrated. And he realized when he said it, the Holy Spirit pricked his heart. And he told her, he said, honey, I am so sorry that I said that. You have to keep in mind, he said, I've had to preach 5 times today, and I'm weary. And she said, I understand that. She said, you got to keep in mind, too, I had to listen to you 5 times today. That's literally happened. That's a true story. I had to listen to you. It makes me feel for Barbara. She had to listen to me all the time. I like that. But what I'm saying, it is not the answer that's wrong sometimes. God gives the answer, but if we get the answer without the question, we don't grow much in this life. Now, I am not a human being having a spiritual experience. I am a spiritual being cut off from God, having a human experience without Christ and with Christ, having divine life that God gives. And so are you if you're saved. So are you if you're saved. Faith in Christ gives me a divine perspective in things. And it'll come from this particular book, and so would you. I'm talking about in this line of patience. Faith helps the soul to go beyond what my physical eyes can see. Romans 10, faith cometh, 10 verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith is trusting. Please hear this. As I wait on the Lord, and the Bible teaches us to do that, wait on Him. As I wait on the Lord, but it isn't sitting back waiting in the lounge chair and saying, Lord, I'm waiting on You. When you wait on God, you're in this book, and you're studying this book, and asking God to give you the information as you wait upon Him. Faith is trusting in advance what will only make sense in reverse. Faith is only trusting God as I put my steps out by faith this way, which will only make sense when I look what God has done and brought me through. You will never see the future by sight and call it faith. You see this future by faith, claiming the promise of God, waiting patiently for it, and then God lets you turn around in reverse and see what He's done for you by sight. And you and I who are older have lived long enough in the Lord ought to be able to see a lot of things that cause us to live more for Him than ever before in this life. Give an example, if I may. Take a 3-year-old child. Let's suppose you was going out by a swimming pool somewhere or another. And you say to this little child, if you fall in that swimming pool, you will drown. What? If you fall in that swimming pool, you will drown. Why? Well, it's simply this. You can't swim. How do you know that? You're trying to explain to a 3-year-old the tragedy of why you're saying, don't be around the swimming pool. Then after a period of time, after you've got through, and you listen for a little period of time, and you try to explain it, but listen, there's no way you're going to explain the freshness of a swimming pool for a 3-year-old child who thinks nothing more than just getting in there and have a good time. And sooner or later, as a mother or dad, you're going to have to say something like this, honey, trust me. You don't understand it. Trust me. Till you can understand why, trust me. I know more, and I know what's best, so I can't explain for you to understand. Trust me. So the child has to trust the mother and dad until they get to the age where they can turn around in reverse and see why they told them that. Same way with God and you and I who are His children. There are some things He cannot tell us because we ain't got the capability of understanding. And so He gets to a place, He says, trust me. Just trust me. And if you'll trust me, I'll lead you to the place where you will look in reverse one day and see why. You will never understand why now. Because we know what we know best. We see that all the time. Well, you just don't want me to have a good time in the swimming pool. No. You gotta know how to swim before you can get in the swimming pool. Unless you've got some way to protect. And by the way, a 3-year-old is not going to be left by themselves in a swimming pool anyhow. I don't care if you've got the best protection in the world. And I'm saying to you, that's what God is doing is He gives it. Trust me, that's patience. Trust me, that's patience as we go through life. We have to deal with this old flesh. The flesh is not redeemed. We must not listen to the flesh. 1 John 2, verse 15, 17 tells us that, you know, there's 3 gates to the flesh. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. We have to be careful with that. Now, I am no match with Satan in this flesh. I am no match. I have a new creation in Christ Jesus, and I have someone to defend me. But ladies and gentlemen, if I put a lid in the best way that God gives me against that new creation, and this flesh is let go, I don't care how close you are to the Lord, Satan will get you through the flesh. You can't get no closer than Adam and Eve was. You can't. I mean, you and I have never known what it is to be perfect in flesh. I know what it is to be perfect in spirit because of the new creation in Christ Jesus, and that's a new. But you and I, since the day we were born, have not been perfect in this flesh. Adam and Eve was. And Satan got to them through the flesh. I'm glad the new creation, you can't get to that because that's greater than he. But if you don't watch it and let that new creation help us in the flesh, we are no match for Satan under those circumstances. The Holy Spirit must help me, and He will help me if I let Him. He prepares me for the things in this life, and I must learn to be patient as God is working something out, because the impatient, many times, God's got more for me than just that answer. for the next problem. My flesh did not change when I got saved. But because I am saved, my flesh is changing. And so is yours if you're saved. If your flesh is not changing, it's a good sign you may not be saved. As I wait with patiently, knowing again that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Turn to Psalms 27 with me, verse 14, and I'll close. I'm talking about patience. Maybe you don't need this, but I needed it. Psalm 27, verse 14, David said, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Sit with me. Wait on the Lord. Do you think that God don't love us because we have to wait? I'll tell you this. You learn to do that. Be of good courage. How can you be of good courage when you're waiting on the Lord and want an answer? Trust Him and you'll find out sooner or later. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's patience. Patience. God help us to learn that wonderful truth. Waiting has not been completely helpless doing nothing. Waiting is keeping your pace that you're doing for God, but trusting God for the outcome, knowing that He has the answer. And once I understand the question that's for me, it may not help you, but the question for me. And God brings me through the maze of that question. And I understand the question right. He gives me the answer. That's prepared me for the next question that I may have in my life. And you and I will have questions to ask. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for the night. Bless what's been said and help us learn what God is teaching us about patience. And as we wait on you, Lord, we're not going to be isolated and completely. It don't mean going to the mountains, get in the cave, and wait for the return of the Lord. No, we're to be in the world, but not of the world. We're to be traveling through here, representing your kingdom, not isolated. And there's a lot of things that sin brings to us that hurts us in this life. Please help us, Lord. Help us to wait on you. Help us go to the scriptures for the answers. And you'll help us understand the question. And we'll grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And then we'll understand sometimes when God says, when we pray and nothing seemed to happen about something, God says, trust me, daughter, trust me, son. If you do this, you're going to come out. I'm going to lead you through this. And when you come out and look in reverse, you'll see what you saw by faith, you'll see by sight as you turn around and see what I have done for you. It may be some of us get to heaven before we see it completely, but then we'll say, thank God everything was all right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.